You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, it's almost Christmas, and here we are in Luke chapter 1, so a familiar place in the Bible as we come to this time of the year. Just before we get into our text today, I want to remind you of some events that have recently taken place in this part of the Bible. First of all, the angel Gabriel was sent to Zechariah to inform him that him and his wife Elizabeth, though they were both advanced in years, and the assumption here would be beyond the years of being able to have a baby, they would have a most special son. That would be John the Baptizer, and he would be a key person to prepare the way for our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, when Elizabeth was 6 months along in her pregnancy, that is when the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, the one having been highly favored by God, the Bible says. So what's that all about with Mary being highly favored by God? I encourage you to think about it like this. It meant that God had showed great kindness to Mary. He was kind to her because of who he is, not because of who she was, and not because of anything in her. Even with that said, I believe that Mary was a very faithful Old Testament Christian, knowing the scriptures, believing in the Messiah who was to come, and so on, but not a perfect woman. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that includes you and me and her and everyone. We want to always take the Bible to mean what it says, no more and no less, so that would be included in the Bible, even about her. When it says all, it means all. Also, Gabriel told Mary that though she was a virgin, she would conceive and bear a son. A pretty crazy statement, isn't it? How can that happen? The Bible also says that Gabriel told her that this son that she would have, he would be great. He would be called the Son of the Most High, and he would reign forever. So quite extraordinary things spoken about this child of hers. Getting into our text now, we go further into Luke chapter 1, so we're picking up with today's gospel reading now that began in verse 39. The Bible says, "In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah." So keep in mind, she was living in Nazareth in the north, and now to go to Judah, to the hill country, it was probably a trip of maybe 120 miles or something, so not such an easy trip to make, but here she is so making that 100-plus mile trip from Nazareth. And then the Bible says, when she arrived, she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. So what days are we talking about here? The Bible said in those days. Well, we're talking about the days shortly after Mary had conceived the very Son of God. So what were some of the circumstances at that time? Mary was pregnant, though she was not yet married. Not a big deal today in our world, but back then, a very big deal. Mary was pregnant, though still a virgin. She had to be having so many thoughts running through her mind. As the baby began to grow, she knows there's a baby in there, and she's like, this is just such a crazy thing, but I know that God told me of it, I know that God has done it, and she doesn't know anyone else in the whole world that has her same experience. This has never happened before that a virgin would be pregnant with a child. Also, Mary knew that Elizabeth was pregnant. How did she know that? She lived over 100 miles away. They weren't able to text or email or anything like that. So how could she know? Well, because Gabriel said to her, "Your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month." So Mary was told that right when God enabled the child who is the babe of Bethlehem to be conceived in her. Also, another circumstance here is that Mary wanted to get out of Nazareth. Can you imagine she's starting maybe to show just a little bit? And the people are assuming that she has got to be a sinner. There's no way that she should be pregnant at this time, and yet she's beginning to show a little bit. She wanted to get out of town, and she also wanted to see her relative Elizabeth, who was pregnant in her old age, so a miracle in and of itself that she was pregnant. Those are some of the circumstances that we have here. Well, who were Zechariah and Elizabeth? Who were they to Mary? Well, they were both descendants of the tribe of Levi, the Bible tells us, Zechariah being a priest, so he had to be from the tribe of Levi. Now, when I say from the tribe of Levi, keep in mind, we're going back to Jacob. Jacob had the 12 sons, and then his 12 sons became the 12 tribes of Israel, because Jacob also is known by the name Israel. So they became the 12 tribes of Israel, who become the nation of Israel, and so on. So you keep the distinction with the 12. So again, Zechariah being a priest, being of the tribe of Levi. And then regarding Elizabeth, the Bible tells us that she was from the daughters of Aaron. So Aaron, obviously being of the tribe of Levi too. And then thinking about Mary, she was of the tribe of Judah. So another son then of Jacob. When we think about Elizabeth and Mary being related, well, think about the family line. If we go back far enough, we're going to come to the one family of Jacob and think about the brothers. So Elizabeth was from the one brother Levi. Mary was from the other brother Judah. So, but that's going way back, though, isn't it? We're talking about going back to Jacob, from Mary and Elizabeth going back to Jacob. We're going back probably about 1,800 years. Has anyone done a genealogy back that far? That would be a long way to go back. But if they could work back that far, they would see that they were relatives. And we could even call them cousins, but probably not first cousins, maybe fifth cousins or 10th cousins or maybe 20th cousins. But I don't even know how that all works, but somehow, though, they were related. And then going on in our text here, picking up in verse 41, the Bible says, "And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." So Mary spoke, John leaped, and Elizabeth was filled. What can be said about such things? Maybe not a lot. But think about a couple things here. Prior to John being conceived, Gabriel said to Zechariah earlier in Luke chapter 1, Gabriel said to him, talking about John, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. Therefore, John leaped, and also God granted Elizabeth a special filling of the Holy Spirit. So think about with, for example, the Old Testament prophets, God moved them by the Holy Spirit to speak and to write his very words. Elizabeth was given this ability here too, to be able to speak the very words of God, to speak important things about Mary and about her baby. Going further then to verse 42, the Bible says, "And she," talking about Elizabeth, "exclaimed with a loud voice, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb.'" So Mary, she was blessed not because she was sinless, but she was blessed because God chose her above every other woman in the whole world to be the one through whom he would bring his son into the world. So it's not because of something in her, it's because of God choosing her for that very important role. And then regarding her baby, why is the fruit of her womb blessed? Well, obviously because he is the very Son of God in human flesh, also because he was sent to take away the sin of the world, and probably like a million other reasons too we could think of that he is blessed. I want to add a little note here regarding an addition and also some deception. So please don't take this the wrong way, but I think it should be stated, though. But I state it not to be negative, but I state it as information that we should all be aware of. So many people who are Roman Catholic, and maybe many of you were Roman Catholic, so it's a common thing that they offer a particular statement and a particular prayer to Mary. So you probably have heard it before. They say, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death." So that's something that many of us probably know, even if we've never been Roman Catholic, and if we have been, that probably floods in all kinds of thoughts about having said that over and over again. So let me just make two quick comments about that. First of all, what we have there is we have the first half of it is a Bible verse, and then the second half of it is a made-up prayer. But I think by putting them together, it gives the impression that the whole thing is coming from the Bible. In other words, if I said to you, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but those who try really hard will certainly be in heaven." If I said that to you, doesn't it sound like that must be in the Bible? The whole thing must be in the Bible? Because I started with what's in the Bible from Romans 3:23, but then I added something to that that's not in the Bible. So I think it can give that kind of an impression. So the first part of it is from the Bible. It's right here from Luke chapter 1, verse 42. The other problem with it is a prayer to Mary. And the Bible makes it clear, as Dr. Giesler mentioned earlier down the hall, and as you've heard me say many times, that there in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, it makes it very clear that Jesus is the one mediator between God and men. So if we would pray that phrase, we have nothing in the Bible that says that Mary would be able to hear that or be able to respond to that. And actually, we have something in the Bible that would say she can't help us here because Jesus is the one mediator. I don't say any of that again to be difficult about it, but what's so important, though, is we're always comparing whatever is going on theologically with anything in the world, we're always comparing it back to the Scriptures. And we want to make sure that we're thinking about it and dealing with it in the best ways. So for anyone who has been using that, I would say keep the first part. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. That's true, because Mary was chosen above all other women. And Jesus is the very Son of God, the Savior of the world. So keep that. And then when it comes to the second part, simply pray, "Dear Father in heaven, thank you I can come to you through your Son, Jesus Christ, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, and thank you for having taken away my sins by the work of your Son. And I pray that you would even now keep me in your word and work by the Holy Spirit in my life to keep me in Jesus Christ and help me to rejoice in your gift of forgiveness." You know, that would be a great prayer to pray. A little bit long, maybe. I should have made it shorter so we could memorize it. But let's rejoice so in who Mary is and all that God has done through her. And then let's focus on God and who he is and what he has done for us. And then going on in the text, we go to verse 43. It says, "And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came into my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for great joy." In other words, great gladness, great exaltation. Since the Holy Spirit had made known to Elizabeth that Mary was pregnant with the promised Savior, Elizabeth acknowledged Mary's importance as well as the fact of her baby and who that baby is. What I'm trying to say here is that there's no way Elizabeth could have known those things apart from God communicating those to her in a miraculous way. And then going on to verse 45, now this is still Elizabeth speaking to Mary, "And blessed is the one believing, that there would be a fulfillment of the things having been spoken to her from the Lord. These are the final comments in the sermon for today. So first of all, the Lord spoke through the angel to Mary, going back to a little bit earlier. So angels are, what does the word angel mean? It means messenger. So angels are messengers. So the message went from God to Gabriel to Mary, and that's what happened in Nazareth prior to Mary going to visit Elizabeth. And then the Lord spoke through Elizabeth to Mary. So again, think about how God moved the prophets and even the apostles to speak and write his very words. So here, Elizabeth is moved to speak these things to Mary that she couldn't have known apart from God having made them known to her. And then think about Mary. So Mary might be thinking, how did you know those things? How did you know I was pregnant? How did you know I'm carrying the Son of God? But yet it had to bring Mary great joy, knowing that Elizabeth knew and knowing that God was at work in her to communicate those things to Mary. That must have been uplifting to her, encouraging to her, amazing to her how God was at work, and just helping her know that this child within her was such a super special child. And then we see that Mary believed what seemed impossible. So Mary received the words from Elizabeth as the very words of God. And why did she do that? Because she knew their source. How did Mary know that those were the words of God? Again, it's what I said already. She had to know they were from God because only God knew those things. There's no way Elizabeth could have known them. Only God knew them. So now that Elizabeth is speaking them, she knew they were coming from God. And then finally, a little bit of application for us. So we are also called to believe what seems impossible. When I read the Bible myself, I'm never wondering whether it is true or not. And I hope you're that way too. In other words, when I read the Bible, I know it is all true because I know the Bible is God's very word to us, and therefore I know it is fully reliable. That's how God wants us to approach his word. Remember the passage we talked about maybe a couple years ago now? There in Psalm 119, 160. It says, "The sum of thy word is truth." Now this is the psalmist praying to God. "The sum of thy word is truth, and every one of thy righteous ordinances is everlasting." If you look at that more carefully in the Hebrew, basically what the psalmist was saying is, there's nothing more important about your word than the fact that it is true. That is such a vital thing. So God wants us to go to his word, and he wants us to have no doubt at all that this is the very word of the Almighty God. So that's always how we approach the word of God, with that attitude. And therefore, whatever we read, no matter how impossible it might seem, we know it is true. No matter how much we're thinking, oh, that can't be a sin. If it says it's a sin, that means it's a sin. Whatever it is, God wants us to know it is true. And because of that, that should want us to dig in here and find out what is true from the Almighty God, what stands forever and ever. There are many things we know that are temporary, but this stuff here is forever. Like it says in Isaiah, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. So because of that, let's dig in there, let's know what it says, let's know that it's all true, and let's know that it's a love story. It's a love story telling of God's great love for us, even though we are all poor, miserable sinners. In Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness for us and for all. What great news. Let's rejoice in that. Let us pray. Father in heaven, you chose Mary to be the woman through whom you would send your son into the world. As you used Mary, a very faithful Old Testament believer, in an extraordinary way, so we pray that you would make us open to be used by you according to your plan for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.